Namaste. Suprabhatam. Good morning to our listeners in the Greater Houston on KBreeze 106.1 FM or 102.1 FM HD3. Good morning to our Europe listeners and good afternoon to our Europe listeners and good morning to our Bharat listeners on TuneIn.com. You are listening to Voice of Sanatan Hinduism, a radio show. We're on the air for you every Sunday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon, U.S. Central Time. Our studio number is 832-704-9273. Local time is 4 minutes past 9. This is your host, Rakesh Parikh.
Kanti Patel.
Deepak Kachacha.
Our mission is to make all aware of the deep treasures of Vedic way of life, also known as Sanatan Dharma, or Hinduism. Our objective is 4H. 4H stands for Hindus, for Hindu Dharma, for Hindustan, and for Hindutva.
Thought of the day. The heart's love is due to only one, to him who never changed. So says Sri Krishna in Gita. The Lord is the only one who never changes. His love never fails. Wherever we are and whatever we do, He is ever and ever the same merciful, the same loving heart. He never changes. We must love Him and everyone that lives only in and through Him.
We have an awesome show for you today. Stay tuned. Coming your way shortly, 9:10 Hindu calendar, 9:30, Srimad Bhagavad Gita. 10 o'clock, events roundup. 10:30, Sri Meenakshi Temple segment. 11 o'clock, Quest of Hinduism, an interaction between you and us. And today's topic is
Guru Gobindo no Kare Kakela Gopai. So we'll discuss that shloka.
11:15, Young Hindu Voice. And 11:55, will be the Mangalam time.
मन ही मन
And now it's time for Hindu calendar.
Today's calendar, today, Ravivar, Sunday, August 9, 2015, Vikram Samvat 2072, Shalivan Sake 1937, Ashad Mas, Krishna Paksh, Rohini Nakshatra, 10th day of Tithi. This week, Monday, we have Ekadasi, it's called Kamika Ekadasi, and Saturday starts the Shravan Mas, also Bharat's Independence Day, August 15, on Sunday. On Saturday, sorry, next
Longi बिटिया सावरिया के संग रंग में
कैसे होली खेलूंगी या सावरिया के संग
रंग में कैसे होली खेलूंगी या सावरिया के संग
Friends, tomorrow is Kamika Ekadasi, tomorrow Monday. And what is the puja vidhi of this particular Ekadasi? It is said that people who worship Lord Krishna with tulsi leaves and offer prayers to Lord Vishnu on this day, they get moksha by destroying all their sins. Observing fast on this day gives the benefit ever bigger than that of bathing in holy Ganga. Even listening to the pious story of this day gives the benefit of completing yajnas. Observing Kamika Ekadasi bestows the same benefit as donating a milk cow and their calves along with their feed. On this day, whoever worship Bhagavan Sridhar, the devatas, Gandharvas, Pannagas and Nagas glorify Bhagavan Vishnu. Those who are afraid of their past sins and completely immersed in sinful material life should observe this best of the Ekadasi according to their ability and thus attain liberation. This Ekadasi is the purest of all days and the most powerful for removing the sins.
Thank you.
You are listening to Voice of Sanatan Hinduism on Radio K-Breeze 106.1 FM or 102.1 FM HD3 in Houston, Texas. Our phone number, studio number is 832-704-9273. Your comments and suggestions are welcome. Please call us at 832-704-9273. If you'd like to listen to a bhajan, please give us a call. Again, the number is 832-704-9273. And now it is time for Srimad Bhagavad Gita by Anand Srinivasan from Mumbai.
सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनंदना पार्थो वत्सुधिर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत स्वधर्म ज्ञान वैराग्य साध्यै भक्तेकगोचरः नारायण परब्रह्म गीता शास्त्रे समीरितः. गुड मॉर्निंग लिसनर्स, आफ्टर अ लॉन्ग ब्रेक वी कंटिन्यू विद द 18th चैप्टर श्लोकस 38 ऑनवर्ड्स वेयर श्री कृष्ण इज समराइजिंग द होल भगवद गीता टू अस. इन 30 श्लोक्स एंड 37 श्लोकस what was mentioned was the sattvika sukha, and now the Lord continues to explain what is rajasika sukha. Vishayendriya sanyoga yattadagre mortopamam pariname visham eva tat sukham rajasam smrutam. How do we enjoy materialistic pleasures? Let us say one feels hungry, he eats a fruit and the hunger is satisfied. Similarly, by drinking water the thirst is quenched, and by using woolen blankets, we protect ourselves from the cold. Thus, each desire or bodily requirement is satisfied by an object needed by that particular sense organ. There is a union or association of the object and the organ. The tongue desires to taste, and a fruit satisfies it. The skin desires warmth, and a blanket gives it. The fruit and the tongue association, or the skin and the blanket association, satisfies that particular desire. But the happiness arising out of satisfying the desire is called Rajasa Sukha. Does it mean that the Lord is telling us that we shouldn't eat and shouldn't drink? No, we think what we experience as Sattvika Sukha and think that our ultimate destination is this. All that the Lord tells us is that while no one is barred from eating to satisfy his hunger or wrapping himself with a blanket, we should not think that these are the ultimate happiness of life. Experiencing the Lord through bhakti alone can give Sattvika Sukha, he says. These materials of worldly happiness cannot give us the same ananda. A person feeling hungry, if he's got a sugar complaint, may not like a fruit. The juice offered, thankful, would scare him. The blanket in summer would be the most uncomfortable thing to have. These objects give initial happiness, but the changes according to circumstances. Whereas Sattvika Sukha is not like that, but becomes like Amrita gradually, the Lord says. We should all understand that these objects are needed to live, but they are not the life. Rajasa Sukha, says, is association of body organs with materials, while Sattvika Sukha is association of the Lord with the mind. In Rajasa Sukha, if objects of pleasures are removed, happiness is gone. Without food, we cannot satisfy hunger. But in Sattvika Sukha, since the mind is involved, even if we don't see the Lord, we can still perform bhakti through the mind and get happiness. That is why Rajasa Sukha is much inferior to Sattvika Sukha. Now we will see Shloka 39. Sri Krishna has been describing the types of sukha, and now he goes on to explain Tamasika Sukha. Yadagre chanubhandhe cha sukham mohanam atmanah nidralasya pramodhatam tattamasam udharatam. This sukham emanates from nidra, alasya and pramadha, that is sleep, laziness and carelessness. We have to see the shloka, the sukham emanating from sleep, laziness and carelessness in Tamasa Sukha. First of all, these three help in reducing jnana or intellectual power. They will never induce development of jnana. The more we sleep, the less will be the growth of jnana. The more lazy we are, the less will be development of jnana. And the more careless we are, jnana will not grow. Real sukha is when the jnana grows. After sleep, we think we are refreshed, but we think that the body and the organs are tired and therefore sleep refreshes them. After all, if tiredness is removed, it is happiness. So we assume sleep is happiness. If someone wakes up in the middle of the night, we get angry. That is, we think our happiness is interrupted. But actually, the night is called Triyama and is got up three parts. We are supposed to sleep only for two parts and wake up in the morning. Therefore, excessive sleep can also lead into unhappiness. So Krishna tells us that oversleeping makes a person dull and therefore not happy. Laziness is also misunderstood as sukham. Not performing the prescribed duties or not studying but remaining idle may look to be happy, but in the long run it is not. We will now proceed to shloka 40 and 41 of chapter 18. Natadasti prithivyam va divi deveshu va punaha sattvam prakriti jair muktam yadyibesya tribhirgunai. Shri Krishna has been telling us about sattvika, rajasika and tamasika qualities, their influence, their identities and the result of possessing these qualities. He has not completed the description yet. The essence of today's shlokas is starting from the Lord Brahma to a tiny ant or insect. Every one of these objects and creations is affected by these qualities. In other words, excepting the Supreme Lord Sriman Narayana, no one is exempt from the three qualities. Every devata is also under these three qualities. Everyone is affected by them. But we should strive to reduce Rajoguna and Tamoguna and get more Sattvaguna. As sattvic quality grows, we should try to cross this. A person who is beyond these three qualities is a Muktatma, says the Supreme Lord. There is no person either in this universe or in the above worlds who are free from these three qualities which have originated from Prakriti. Lord Brahma in Satyaloka and Lord Indra in Indraloka are also affected by these three qualities. The only difference is that they have long lifespans. Is he also affected by the three qualities? Yes, Brahma is. Is Indra affected? Yes, Indra is. Is Shiva affected? Yes, Shiva is. Because the Supreme Lord has clearly told us earlier that these three qualities are originating from Prakriti. We had seen earlier that Prakriti is the basic material for creation. Prakriti is a part of the Supreme Lord's body. The quality of raw material will be seen in the end product also. Our body is a product of Prakriti. Since these three qualities are properties of Prakriti, all bodies of all living beings in the universe also have these three properties. Lord Brahma and all the living beings he has created are all part of this product of Prakriti alone. Beyond Prakriti is the river Virija, and crossing that is Sri Vaikuntha, which is Nitya Vibhuti or Aprakrita Mandala, and this is the only place which is free from Prakriti. The persons of Vaikuntha alone are free from these three gunas. In the next shloka, the Lord says how each of these qualities is influencing them in their way. Brahmana kshatriya visham shudranam cha paratvapa karmani pravibhaktani swabhava prabhair gunaihi. The influence of these qualities is according to their duties and actions, the way of life for a Brahmana, Kshatriya, the Vaishya and the Shudra. Samo damastapas saucham shantirarjavam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karmana swabhavajam. The Brahmanas perform these duties with these characters, says the Lord. Controlling the sense organs, control of the mind, undergoing sufferings of tapasya, observing vratas, tarapana for the diseases, kshanti, observing patience, arjavam, being honest, jnanam, having the atma jnana and the paramatma jnana are all parts of a Brahmana quality. Astikyam, the belief in the most supreme Lord and the Vedas are basic and ultimate reference. The atma and body are different, and the atma is the servant to the paramatma, to the Lord, and the Lord is the controller and commander of this universe. All of these qualities are accepted by a Brahmana. He is good to all. His divine feet are the only asylum for the Atma. He believes in each of them as opposed to Nastikya and says that the Supreme Lord is in control of this universe. Shloka 43. Shauryam tejodhir dhakshyam yuddhe chapya palayanam danam ishvara bhavascha kshatram karma swabhavajam. The Kshatriya Dharma is a Shauryam, bravery, opponents of army. Person of Shauryam is Tejo, the courage, Dhriti and determination, unperturbed at any obstacles and remaining steadfast. Dhakshyam, capable of to complete a task. In the Yuddhe, capable to protect people in the war. These are the qualities, he says, are for Kshatriya. Thus the ruler has to protect the kingdom with his strength. Earlier the Lord told us the qualifications of the Brahmana. The Kshatriyas have to have the following characters. He says, Danam, bountiful or charity. Sri Rama donated so much. We see in his life that he gave away cows and other things of wealth near the Saryu River. When Krishna was born, his father Vasudeva gave thousands of cows covered by costly robes and decorated with golden horns to all of the Brahmanas. The donation is the nature of the rulers, says the Lord. Rulers protect the weaker section from the mightier people. These are people characteristics of the Kshatriya Dharma. All these qualities could be seen in Sri Rama, he says. His ancestors were all great kings, and Sri Rama was like the peak among them. He bravely encountered the Rakshasas all himself by alone. He could destroy the opponent army and make them run away. He was never perturbed at the appearance of the army of Ravana. Thus, a Kshatriya never falls back in protecting his people. Let us continue next week with the next shlokas of the of the 18th chapter. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gita Eko Devo Devaki Putriva Eko Mantrani Tasya Namaniyani Karma Apyekam Tasya Devasya Sevaha. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you, Anand. That was Anand Srinivasan from Mumbai.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, friends. With the advent of modern digital devices, especially the telephone with the SMS, people are ignoring face-to-face conversations. People get so engrossed in their devices that they forget to listen and they forget to have a conversation. So we're going to abstract today from an article by Sadhguru Bodhinath on the art of listening. Here's the article. Sound is regarded as divine in Hinduism, so it is fitting that listening has always held a central role in our faith. Our core scriptures, the Vedas and the Agamas, are referred to as Shruti, which means that which is heard, as they were originally heard by the rishis as an oral transmission directly from God. In the early days of human civilization, prior even to writing, Shruti was faithfully preserved without alteration because it is the word of God, by means of oral instructions from Guru to Shishya. This went on generation after generation for thousands of years. Considering the vast body of text, it is remarkable how this was achieved and preserved. But would this be possible without listening, without Shruti? So fortunately, this is the traditional way of learning the Vedas and Agamas by listening, and it is still practiced today in the priest training schools. In a typical learning session, the teacher chants a verse once and the students recite it twice, striving to be faithful to the subtleties of pronunciation and rhythm that they hear in the teacher's chanting. This is not a new thing. This is something that goes on for hours and hours, every single day, for years and years and years. And then even your brain expands because the sound itself has some magical properties. Anyone who has seen a great documentary knows how powerful the human voice is as an instrument for communication and sharing of knowledge. So much more effective it is than just reading alone. Consider Pravachan, the popular lecture given by the Kathakars and the teachers who have personally experienced the truths that they're explaining. In these dynamic discourses, the teacher presents the essentials of the Vedas, Upanishads, and so on. And those who listen absorb these deep teachings if they're paying attention with all of their senses. In this sharing, the speaking, the hearing, and so forth, very subtle knowledge is transmitted from the knower to the seeker in a way that cannot be matched by reading. It is completely absent in reading. Many such levels of information are conveyed through speech. Inflection, emotion, the emphasis, conviction, and subtle intimations in the tone of the voice. His Gurudev, Shiva, wrote that because sound is the first creation, knowledge is transferred through sound of all kinds. It is important that one must listen to the highest truths from one who has realized them. The words, of course, will be familiar. They have been read by the seeker many times, hundreds of times. But to hear them from the mouth of an enlightened one is to absorb this unspoken realization as he re-realizes this realization while he reads them. So it is really beneficial both for the seeker and for the knower. Listening is an art. The idea that one has to fully grasp the subject being presented requires attentiveness to the speaker and concentration on the meaning of what is being said. For a mystically profound subject, intuition is also needed to deeply understand what the speaker is trying to convey, a meaning that lies beyond just his simple words. When attentiveness, concentration, intuition are present, listening then becomes an art. In heaven, deities feed from sacrificial fires. On earth, men who feast on listening are their equal. These are Tiruvallar's verses. The most precious wealth is the wealth acquired by the ear. Indeed, of all wealth, that wealth is paramount. If not pierced by acute listening, ears may hear and yet remain deaf. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that ears that do not listen are the holes of serpents or snakes. And so, friends, this makes a lot of sense. The art of listening faces a new challenge, unfortunately, in our modern age. The digital distractions, the computers, the mobile phones, the constant stream of nonsense that they offer, they challenge everyone's ability to focus, to listen, and to learn. This now becomes even more important. There's an article in Times that goes on to describe this, and even family that gathers around really is absorbed in telephones and distractions and text, SMS, and so forth. So the Hindu home now is crucially impacted by digital distraction. And the Hindu teachings, principles, stories, ethics, and so on conveyed to young children by their grandparents and by parents is slowly starting to wash away in this digital age. It would be unwise to allow digital information to overwhelm us, or even more so than life's conveniences have already done so. The Amish, a small religious community in the U.S., have taken an extreme stand against modernism, living as people did centuries ago, in an effort to preserve their culture and to perpetuate their religion. Documentary tells us a story of an Amish family that eliminated all possibilities for modern distractions. A more balanced solution for Hindu families is to establish set times for digital study and enjoyment and other times for healthy in-person face-to-face communication with family members, with the digital devices, of course, turned off. You should have no digital devices present on the dinner table, for instance, or in a puja room. That is sacred time, whether it's with family or with God. So there are simple sadhana conversation to strengthen bonds. There are four little points that he makes. Stop what you're doing when approached. Smile, face the person, extend a truly felt kind greeting, and give him or her your full attention. Put down or please turn off your mobile device. Number two, listen carefully. Do not interrupt. Concentrate on what is being said. If it is troublesome, remember the adage, seek to understand before seeking to be understood. Get engaged and show support by responding sincerely. Number three, especially if the person is sharing an emotional experience, ask him or her to recount the event. Be patient and listen. Be attentive. If you feel it's taking too long, affirm mentally that you have the time in the world that this person needs. Practice empathy. Number four, put yourself in the other person's place. If you were speaking, would you want the others to fully listen, or would you want them to be on their cell phone texting somebody? Your hearing the story is enough. You just don't have to provide all the solutions, just a caring ear. So the art of listening should come back by eliminating some of the digital media and speak that which is felt. Parents need to carefully guide their children's development to avoid digital distraction. Develop the art of listening. And if all goes well, awaken intuition and compassion for others. Adults need to make sure that they themselves are setting a good example and not excessively indulging in the digital world. This will ensure that the knowledge and practices of Hinduism continue to thrive in this digital era.
Chidananda Chidana